Kumlan Rabat Gemara, we are up to the Pei Hei Amid Aleph. We're discussing a machlekes, an argument between Rabbi Yechanan and Reish Lakish. According to Reish Lakish, according to their arguing in Rebbe's opinion, who says that the prohibition of breaking a bone is only if it's roh l'achila. That means that you have to have meat there. So according to Reish Lakish, you need a full kazayis of meat right in that section of the bone that you're about to break. And according to Rabbi Yechanan, as long as along the bone there's a kazayis of meat, and not necessarily exactly where you're breaking it, the point of breakage, it's sufficient, for, according to Rebbe, that you are liable. So we brought one question. Now we're up to question number two. We're on Pei Hei Amud Aleph. And we are up to where it says Meisave, about 13 lines from the top. 15 lines from the top. So Rabbi Yochanan says anywhere along the bone is a kazayis of meat, you're liable for breaking it, as long as it has to be right where you are. Maybe I'll ask you a question. Okay, so Nimara, again, a question is lucky, it says in the Mishnah later on, Eve, we'll soon learn it, a limb, shiyotza miktsasa, if part of the Mizbeach of the Korban Pesach went outside of Yerushalayim, we said before, that part becomes puzzle and you have to break it off. What do you do? Choytech, you cut the meat down, ad mokum shemagia le'etzim, you cut it all the way down till the bone area, the koylef, and you peel all the meat off, ad shemagia le'pedik, the meat that's inside the Yerushalayim, you peel off until you get to the joint, and then v'chaytich, because we don't want to break bones, so then you cut at the joint, but you don't want to cut with the meat, so you peel the meat off first from the bone. So when you're cutting it off at the joint, you're not cutting through any meat. Now, if you're going to tell me, as long as where I'm breaking the bone, there is no real kazais, even though there's in other parts of the other regions of the bone, there's kazais. There's no avera breaking the bone because the whole thing is we learn out from eating. And eating means meat. And you need a kazayis of meat because that's the mitzvah achila. Is lomali the kaila? Why do you have to bother to go ahead and peel the meat off the rest of the bone that's inside? Atshemagila peti breach the joint, the chaytich, and then you cut through. Nikla beipur. Why don't you just peel a little bit of meat off right here, a certain section of the bone? So in that section of the bone, there's no longer a kazayis of meat. And the nitbare, and break it. Why go through the hassle of having to continue to peel the meat off the bone to the very end, because you're not allowed to break it? And according to the Shlokish, the only time there's a problem is if there's a kazayis right here, but you peel a little bit off, there's no kazayis anymore, break it right here. So if, why don't we just do that? Abaye says, we are worried that maybe you will break a part of the bone under the flesh when you are going to, you know, take a hammer, whatever it is, and try to break the bone where there's no meat. You might also break the bone where there is meat. And therefore, we are, it's a gzeret rabbanon, we don't encourage that. That's why we encourage you to peel off the rest of the meat of the bone and cut it off other joints. And Ravina says, we are talking about bikulis. We're talking about a thigh bone. And the problem with the thigh bone is it's full of march, it's full of marrow. And therefore, because it's full of marrow, you cannot break the bone regardless, because that's meat. That's why you have to go to the very end of the bone where it meets to the joints. Says the Gemara. Okay, further. Anusugina. Tananhasa, we learned over there. Okay, we learned over there, we had before. Hapigol. Let's say if you thought the wrong thoughts when you shechted the animal that you can eat at the wrong time, or noisid, if the animal was left over, both of them mitaminas yadayim. The rabbi said that just touching it makes you tummy. We said before, because either they're lazy or whatever reason, we'll soon see. What's the reason? Chadam, one of them says the reason is, you know why we decided, the rabbanon decided to make this rule that it should be tummy? Mipnei chashde kuhuna, we are worried about that there are koinim who deliberately are going to ruin, they don't like the person who brought the animal, so they're deliberately going to ruin the animal. The din is that if a koin b'mezid ruins an animal by having the wrong thoughts in mind, he has to reimburse. We'll have this whole sugi in Gittin about hezek she'einu nikir, a damage that is not really recognizable or visible. What happens? So if a kohen does it liberally, he has to pay. But if he did the kohen did it inadvertently, then he doesn't. So if a kohen really hates somebody, he'll say to the guy, I did it by mistake, even though he actually did it on purpose. So therefore, if we tell the guy that his hands will become tameh, maybe then he'll be worried, and he won't do it. Tosfos asks, if he doesn't care about ruining an animal, why would he care about tumah? And Tosfos says that no, that for some reason or other, they were more worried about tumah than about this. In fact, Tosfos, we will have a gemara in Yuma over there about the kohen, the two kohenim who vied against each other, ran up at the ramp, and he took a knife and killed him so he can get there first. And then the whole discussion in the gemara is, but the knife is a tumah, and we answer no, because he pulled the knife out right before the guy died, whatever it is. So the gemara there seems to be saying that tumah was a greater concern than murder. That's what Tosfos says. I didn't understand the question of Tosfos, because L'chaira, tumah is a problem because it means he can no longer service in the base of Migdash. Remember, he only worked one day in 24 weeks. So if you make him tummy at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, he can no longer do service. But if he's not tummy, he might get some more kabbanas and get some more benefits. So that's why he's more worried about tumah, for selfish reasons. But anyway, so that's one thing. And other chadam domzem neatzlikuna, we are worried about lazy koyanim. That because it comes to leftovers, for example, if you're lazy, you're just not gonna do anything about it, and it'll turn into ginoiset. But if you are not lazy, then you'll eat it, or you'll give it to other koyanim to make sure that it's all eaten up before them. And they're not arguing. Mar masnet pigul, the one who says because we're worried about the koyanim, the misbehavior. He's referring to the avera pigul, why we made a tummy. Well, mar masnet knows. Everyone says about laziness is talking about tummy. Says the Gemara, now man the masna pigul, the one who says pigul mushuk shavtukuna man has a noise mushuk masikuna man master kazais. There's another argument: how much meat should there be before we say that becomes tamei? One says a kazais is because that's the amount that becomes usser. Well, mar master kibed almost says the size of an egg. The same achleg we had before about regarding how much chametz you have to have at home before you come back, or how much kachim do you have to have before you have to return it and burn it in Yerushalayim, and so on. Man de masik kezayis ki isuri, just like the prohibition, which is how much do you have to eat of noises before you are liable or kezayis, or pigul or kezayis, and therefore that's the amount that you renders your tummy. Man de masik kebeya ki tumasi. Generally, we're talking about tumah, and tumah, the laws of tumah are that it has to be the size of an egg. See, boy, now we have a question. Now that we've established these rules, we have a question. Yoitse, here's a third kind of psul. We talked about psul of pigul, psul of noise. What about psul of taking the kachim outside of Yerushalayim? Gozu rabbonotum, or those kachim that belong in Beis HaMikdash, and you took it out of Beis HaMikdash. The rabbon also, besides the fact that it's usa to eat, did they also decree that you should become tummy as a result of that? Oloy or not? Me, I mean, do we say, noise, by noise, the gozu tumme, by noise, they decree that it should be tummy, the osila tulibe, because they want to prevent laziness. Avul yoitse, all it is laziness, and that's quite possible. People are lazy, they don't even realize they're doing anything wrong. So therefore, to give them, a little bit of a jolt, that they should be proactively make sure that everything's all right. Okay, we do that. Avol yetzei, but taking it outside of the base of Mikdash when it shouldn't be, or outside your shrine when it shouldn't be, you're proactively doing an aveda. What are the chances that's happening? Afuk b'dayin le'mavkalei. So therefore, b'dayin le'goz b'rabon tumah. Therefore, we decide not to make tumah there at all. There's no need for it because it's not really it's highly unlikely it's going to happen. Oidil molesh no. Maybe it makes no difference. Talk about coming here. It says, just look at the Mishnah, which we'll learn soon. Eva sheyotze miktosa, and Eva that went part of it out of Yerushalayim, choytech ad shemagi, what you do is you cut it down till you get to the bone. And then v'koil, if you peel the rest, ad shemagi lepedek, till you come to the joints. And then v'choytech, you cut right through. Now v'yamet, if you can say, gozru beirabonon tumim, if you can tell me that the part that's yotze becomes tame, so the meat on the bone that's outside of Yerushalayim is in contact, direct contact, or touching the meat that's inside Yerushalayim, so it should have spread the tumah. So what does it help? Ki chotich le'mahav, so if you cut it, it'll have become a tamah tumah, it's a story, it's a rei tumah anyway. So what does it help? That's it. The whole animal is rendered no good if you believe that it's the part that went outside is tumah. And then the rest of the animal also became tumah because it's in direct contact. Answers the Gemara, tumas story me. Says the Gemara, no. This is called tumas starim. It's a tumah that's not visible because the meat is directly on the bone underneath everything else. And we know, we learn out in Gor Nida that tumas starim does not spread tumah. Because it says in the pasuk, the yodav leshot of amayim, his hands he didn't rinse in water. And because it says hands is something exposed. So tumah has to be something that's exposed, not something that's subterranean. The tumas starim lemetamei. And tumah, which is not revealed, that's discreet, is not metame. Says the Gemara, Ravina, the Amar, he argues that regarding food that's touching each other, is chiburi oichin lav chiburu. He holds that food is not called tumah studying. If let's say one long piece of food, like over here, it's not called tumah beis studying because every piece is separate from the next one. So it's not called maga beis studying. But command the mifrish adami is completely like a separate piece, and so therefore we treat it not like one long piece and tumah studying, but rather we treat it like separate pieces. Like two should be touching each other. So if so, because you know they're very tender and everything else, they break off easily. The meat that's outside, if it's tameh, is touching the meat that's inside, and it should therefore definitely become tameh. How can no gebadoy they're touching each other become a tameh? It's metameh. Elul leman the master says, I'll have to answer you the reason why the rest of the animal did not become tameh. Perhaps the tumor, maybe yaitze becomes tameh. So you want to know how come in the case where part of the animal, a limb went outside, it is not tameh, the rest of the animal is inside. You know why? Well, the man, the master kazayis, the one who says you need a minimum of a kazayis to become tameh. We're talking about the leske kazayis, that little piece sticking out was less than the kazayis, so it doesn't generate tumor. Well, man, the master kebay, the one who says you need a minimum of the size of an egg. Before we make it declare a tumah, he's talking about the part that went outside is less make a bay, is less than the size of an egg, and that's why it doesn't transfer any tumah beyond that. Toshma coming here. Okay, another question. Hamoiti, another proof. Hamoiti bosa pesach mechabur lechabur. It's if you know your din is, we're going to learn that you're not allowed to take meat if you belong to one group. Let's say to one Korban Pesach, you're not allowed to then middle of the Seder go to another Korban Pesach. And better yet, even if you have 20 people on one Korban, if they divide into two groups, this family, 10 people went to this room and this 10 people went to another room, you cannot move from one room to the next room or from one group to another group, even though, we'll have big machlokes later, even though you're all sharing the same animal. Because it says in the Pasuk, like, so we'll soon see, it says in the Pasuk, you shouldn't go out. So Amoitzi Basa Pesach Mechabur Lechabur. Somebody took some Pesach from one group to another group. The question is, do we treat Lechayda that's like Yaitse? In other words, the environs for a Korban Pesach generally is the walls of Yerushalayim. But once you've established a group and you established a place where you're going to be, then your environs become that room. And leaving that room or leaving that table is considered as if Yaitse, you left. And says Feinshin Zabraise, Amoitzi Basa Pesach Mechabur Lechabur. If you took the meat of a Korban Pesach, the Psar Pesach from one group to another group, you shouldn't do that because you just did Haitzah, you did Yaitzi, Toir. The meat remains Toir. So it sounds like to me, my life, Toir. On the one hand, it is Toir, even though it is Asr, because Yaitzi mechabur lechabur, ki Yaitzi chus lemechitzas adami. Because when you leave from your group and you go somewhere else, it's as if you went out of its new environs, and the environs that the walls have been established right around this table. Umafsil. And therefore, it becomes possible. And yet, afilo hachik tani toir. And yet, it says it's toir. Clearly, that we do not label yaitze as tameh. And because it's highly unlikely that people would literally would go take it outside of the environs. Amal legozer ban tumah. So we see clearly from here that abanu were not gozer tumah. Saying, "Well, no, maybe toir umuter." Who told you that this is considered yaitze? That's why it's toir. No, it's toir because it's not considered yaitze. The yaitze mechabur lechabur lav ki yaitze lechutz lemechitzas adami, because even though you should not take it out from one group to go to the next group, it's not considered as if you took it out of Yishalayim. It doesn't have the same disqualification. It's not pasul v'leim mafsil. The meat does not become pasul, and therefore, because the meat does not become pasul, because the fact is, he didn't take it out of Yishalayim, just out of this group, you shouldn't have. So that's why it's not tummy. But maybe, perhaps, if you took it out of Yishalayim, then out of the mechitza, then it would become not only possible, but it would become tummy as well. We don't haven't resolved it yet. Says the Gemara, what do you mean? What katani sefer? You're telling me it's not possible. It says in the sefer, how oichle reza b'leisa. If somebody now eats that piece of current pesach that you took from your group, group A, and you brought it to group B, is even aveda. So we see clearly that it is possible. So the Gemara answers, okay. So I can give you one answer. Bishleim lemandam kebeya, the one who says the size of an egg in before the rabban will make a tumah. It has to be the minimum size of an egg because that's generally the size of a tumah. I'll answer very simple. On the one hand, you did an aveda, you get malchus because you ate a kazayis, but it's not tumah because it's less than a beya. But regularly, yaitzi would become tumah. These be kazayis, but less of a kebeya. There's a kazayis, you get punished, you get malchus, and there's less than a beya, so it cannot generate tumah. But if there would have been the size of an egg, maybe you would. But elamandam kazayis, but the one who says that in order to generate tumah, to be kazayis. If you're telling me that generally there is tumah, and over here, how come there's no tumah? Because it must be less than kazayis. So then why do you get malchus? Mayikal meimer. Ella, the Gemara said, okay, according to that opinion, you're right. But Yoitze bePesach, if somebody takes out a Korban Pesach, by Korban Pesach, if you take it out, let me boil my question, the Loi Gozer Rabbanan Tuma. When I ask the question, if you take it outside of his environs, and it's possible, does it become Tummy as well with the Rabbanan, we weren't talking about a Korban Pesach. Korban Pesach is different. Why should it be different? My time of B'nei Chabudah Zizinhein, the members of Korban Pesach are all very meticulous, all very careful to make sure they do everything right, and therefore there's no chash, no reason to be worried that people are going to take it outside of their environs, because everybody made that special trip all the way over here to be part of Korban Pesach. Surely they'll do the right thing. They're very careful. And also because there's a lot of people joining in on one particular carbon, so they're all going to remind each other and make sure you don't take it outside and so on and so forth. So there's no reason for us to be machmer and make a tummy. My question is, what about the rest of the kachim? What would the din be then? And that is tekum. We're not sure what it will. Did we levy on a tumah or did we not levy on a tumah? And therefore, you're not remaining the tekum. Setting water further. Okay, now we talked about taking the Korban Pesach from one group to another group. Says the Gemara. That's a big chiddush. That within your shalayim, within the same house, you now take it from one group to another group. How do you know that's an aveda? The Tanya we learned, the pasuk says that in one house you should eat it. Lo yisaytzi. It says in the pasuk, lo yisaytzi, you should not take out min habayis from the house, min habasar chutzah from the meat outside. And then it says, don't break a bone. So it says the word. It says the word haytzi, lo yisaytzi, when it talks about from the house. All I know is from one house to the next house, you're not allowed to, carry. I know within the same house, but from one group to another group, how you know that is considered hoitzah? You know, tamaloyme chutzah. Once you tell me don't take it out of the house, obviously taking it outside. Why do you have to stress chutzah? Chutzah means chutzlach ilosa. Even if it's in the same house, from one group to the next group is considered already chutzah and you're over and over. Amar Rabami says, now remember, the word we use here is Saitzi, which is very similar to Hilchah Shabbos. And what do we learn Hilchah Shabbos? When are you liable for carrying a Shabbos? Only if you lift it, transport it, and put it down. Akira, lifting it, Haitzah, taking it out, and then Hanocha, putting it down. So here would be the same thing. When are you liable for Korban Pesach? Only if you picked up the meat, took it outside of that your area, and put it down somewhere else. Somebody takes meat from one group to another group. Until he actually puts it down. But the other group is. Why? Because it says the word Hitzor, which is just like by Shabbos. Ma Shabbos, just like Shabbos. Ada of it, Akid of Hanochem. Just like Shabbos. You're liable unless you lift it and you put it down. Because you didn't put it down, the malach is not completed. And you have to do the, if someone else does the other part, we learn Mahatayda, you're potter, you have to do the entire Malach from beginning to the end. Says, I'm here too. Ad Ovid Akida V'Hanocha, until you pick it up and you put it down in another group. Mosiv Rab Abba B'Mamal. Rab Abba B'Mamal says, and Tesis actually goes further, because the very pasuk that talks about carrying says, Al Yeitse Ish Mim Kaimai, you shouldn't walk out of your place. Could have said, Al Yeitse. And we read it Yaitzi as of Yaitzi because we hold Chum is only the Rabbanon. So what's the pasuk warning them? Don't go to get them on. Why not? It's no problem of Chum because we hold Chum is the Rabbanon, not the Rabbi Kiva. So it must be the Issa is talking about is carrying. And those who hold that Chum come to you two things. Carrying and Chum. It says, Mosi Rab Abba Mama, Abba Mama has a question. It says, Hoyosoy Vlim Oysoy, they would carry these bulls that had to be burnt. Let's say the bull and goat of Yom Kippur. Or the Par Helam Dova Shal Tzibur. The Thai community made an Aveda because they had the wrong sock. Or the Par of the Kohen, the anointed Kohen, did an Aveda by mistake. He has to bring a special bull. And all of these get burnt outside of the three camps. All the way away from the base of Midrash, away from the Harabayis, all the way outside of Shalayim. And we learned. First you spray, you shecht it basically, you spray some of the blood, you know, in the mizbeach, and then you take it out and you burn it outside. So it says there, what do you call it? Are you saving those who were carrying the moite, those who were carrying the, those, let's say you carry the bull on those poles on their shoulders, and they're going to take it outside of shalayim. The moment you take it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, you become tamei. Because it says whoever burns it has to wash the clothes, and we say it doesn't happen after you burn it. As soon as you take it outside of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, as soon as you walk out of the Zorah, so you walk the Beis HaMikdash, even the first machna, you become tamei. The clothes become tamei, even though you didn't put it down. So it says there, Hasayvlim Oisa b'Moit Horishayin. The first people who walked out. Let's say the first people walked out. The other people are still behind in the Beis HaMikdash. They become the Yotzu Chutz Lachem Azorah. And what happens? The first people went outside of the Beis HaMikdash of the Azorah, but Achreim Lo Yotzu. But the second group, the latter two people who are holding the other end of the pole, are still inside the Azorah. Harishayim Metamim Begadim. Those who went out already become Tamei. V'Achreinim Ein Metamim. Those are still inside. Did not become tummy. Tesh already explains, it's talking about the entire animal was taken out. They're just holding on to the poles. Because as long as the entire animal didn't go out, you also wouldn't be liable. But so we're talking about the entire animal went out, and the people there were just holding the poles, staying in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the question is, over here it says also the pasuk, you shouldn't, the word hoitzi, which is taking out. And you just said that the word hoitzi, whenever it says the impossible hoitzi is apart, and you just said it says hoitzi means until you did akir and hanocha. So why did they become tummy as soon as they walk out of that zora? They're still walking, they're not standing in one place. It says the Gemara, who moisel of whom a farglo. Rabbi Ami asked the question and he gave an answer. It's talking about a case, ben nigrodin, that were dragging it on the floor. And if it's dragging on the floor, it's always considered as if there is hanocha. Tesher, he said, doesn't mean literally dragging on the floor, as the way Rashi learns. As long as it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, it's considered like it's sitting on the floor. And therefore, it's already as if it rested, and that's why there is their tummy, the ones who went outside, not those who were inside. Second one, for the next mission, this is the mission we just learned before. Eiver, you have a limb. Shiyotze miktose, part of it went out. Choytet, he cut down to the bone. Atche magil etzim, you cut it until the bone. Well, kailiv, and you peel off the meat. Atche magil peri, you peel the meat also, the part from inside, so you peel it off the bone till you get to the joint. And then, you cut the bone right then and there. So therefore, you're not breaking any bones. Umugdoshi, what about generally kachim? Forget about Karban Pesach. Were you allowed to break bones? What do you do then? Koyt says, because if you take like an axe and you just break it right through, she'emush is etzim. Because you don't have to bother to peel the meat because there's no iser breaking the bone. So just break the bone right there and then where it's sticking outside your shlaim. No base of Migdash. Okay, what about mina agif ulefnim? So let's say you have the base of Migdash and you have a doorpost and you have a door and the door sits rests against like the lintel. So you have, if you close the door, the part that's outside, beyond the lintel, of course, is considered outside. The part that's inside in front of the door is the inside. And that's called the agav. Then we'll discuss in the Gemara, what about the door, the doorpost itself, when the door is open, how do we treat that as inside, as outside? So it says the Mishnah, min agav lefnim, from the door, when you close the door and inside, then it's considered lefnim, like inside. Min agav, this is talking about regarding, let's say, yoytze, taking meat out of the base of Migdash. If it's, as long as it's still inside, if the door is closed, it's still inside. If the door is closed, if it's sticking outside, then it's outside. That's number one. And we'll discuss the doorway itself. What about a chalonos? What about those cavities in the walls? The thickness of the walls of the Azor itself is kilifnim, is treated as if it's still inside. So, or in Shalayim, let's say you have holes in the walls, like windows, or cavities in the whole wall, and the entire wall itself, the thickness of the wall, you can walk atop of the wall, that's all considered as if it's inside. Okay, says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Chein L'Tfilah, the same rule applies regarding davening, that what? If you close the door and you're inside, you can be part of the minyan. And if you close the door and you're outside, you cannot be part of the minyan. This argues the Rabbi Shimon Levi, the Rabbi Shimon Levi, and halacha like him. I feel mechitza shebazel ain't a mafsekes ben yisrael in shemayim. That even a wall made out of metal cannot separate the yidden. So the way Rashi learns is that anybody can be counted as a minion, even though they're behind the wall, you can't see them. Anything else? And Tesis totally disagrees with Rashi because he holds when it comes to minion, we already learned. And we'll learn further as well. We'll look a little bit later in that if you know a big room and a small room, if the people can join together or not, it depends if they can see each other, and so on and so forth. And therefore, Tesis or others learn is talking about duchening or other things, not regarding whether Metzalef and a minion. Or we're talking about there's a minion already, whether you can join in at number 11, 12, 13. Says about it further, Hogu Vakasha. Ahmed, you start off saying, Minagav of Nim Kilifnim, that if you close the door, you shut the door, and everything inside is inside, sounds like the doorway itself. Ho Agav Atzmei Kilichutz is treated as if it's outside, it's already Yaitse. Ema Seifa, look at the next part of the Mishnah. I mean, Agav Lechutz, if you close the door and it's on the outside, Kilechutz is outside. Or Agav Atzil, but the doorway itself is inside. So what's the situation of the doorway? Which one is it? Like Kasha. It depends. It's not a problem. It depends. And that is, Kan Bishare Azora, depends if we're talking about, the reason why the Mishnah is vague is because there's no absolute rule. When it comes to the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, the rule is one way. Those became holy. All the doorways in the Beis HaMikdash, the entrances also became holy, except the Shaar Nikkanah. If you remember the Shaar Nikkanah, that's where we brought all the lepers. Because the leper, when they finish their 7 days and the 8th day, they bring 3 karbanos. They also have to stand there with their thumb. And we pour, some of the blood on their, and the oil on their thumb, the right thumb, the right toe, and the ear, the earlobe. So we need them to stand there in the Beis HaMikdash, or at least as close as possible, and therefore we put them in the doorway of the Beis HaMikdash, because it's not holy. That part wasn't holy. But Nishalayim, Kam Bishad Yishalayim, but the gateway of Yishalayim, we did not make holy at all. It's not considered holy. As far as Azor is concerned, it's not considered Yotze if it's in the entrances itself, except if it's Nikkanah. But in Yishalayim, it's considered as if Yotze. And why is that? Why did they make that the gateways of Yishalayim should not be holy? The lepers who would come to the base of Midrash, read the Kabbanis, they couldn't even walk into Yerushalayim or anything else. So Magini Tachtem, they would wait there, Bechaman, the sun, Mipnei, Chaman, the sun, Ubuksham, the Akshamim. And the rain, because of the rain. They would send their kabbanas up, and then they would come in afterwards. So where did they protect themselves if it rained? They stood there at the gateway of Yerushalayim. So therefore they decided not to make it holy, so that these people can stand over there and wait, and then afterwards they can come to the Beis HaMikdash, and there they stand by Shaar Nikkanah, and they wait till they get the blood on their thumbs and so on, and toes and so on and so forth. So what is even Lepoil? That Yishalayim, the entrance is considered outside, and the Azor, the entrance is considered inside. And therefore, the Mishnah was vague because the laws are different. Sometimes it's this way, sometimes that way. Said the Gemara, if all the entrances of the Beis HaMikdash should be sanctified, why wasn't the entrance of Nikkanah also sanctified? Would stand over there, Nisan behind this yard, and they'll put the thumbs, the toes, the earlobes, and all that. Okay, he says in the end of the Mishnah, Hachaloino is the windows where we have the thickness of the wall, the base of Yerushalayim were not holy, sanctified. Amar Rav Zadav, Gagin, all the roofs in Yerushalayim, and in the base of Migdash, the Aliyas, and also all the upstairs, loinis kachu. In other words, if you have to eat a current Pesach, you're not allowed to eat it on your roof, nor were you allowed to eat it upstairs, you had to eat it downstairs, because it doesn't have Gdusha Shalayim. And the same thing in the Beis HaMikdash. If you have a kachu kachim, you have to eat it downstairs, you couldn't eat it in the second story there in those rooms, because it didn't have the Kedusha of the Beis HaMikdash. Says, well, is that so? Einim, that's a question. Rama Rav said, Moshe Nabchia. The kezayis of the carbon pesach. You have a large group. The minimum that everyone has to have a share in the lamb is everyone should have a kezayis. The halila pischa. They used to say halal. Besides what we learned that the levim used to say halal when they shechted the kabbanas at night. And this is what we say in the haggadah. We all say halal during eating the seder during the carbon pesach. Poka igra. There was so much noise because everywhere there were large groups that it broke through the ceiling like it broke glass. It's as if everything fell apart. My love, it sounds like from here, what do you mean it broke through the roof? It sounds like the Ochli Be'igra, they ate on the roof. The Amri Be'igra, and they said halal on the roof. Because it says it that, they said halal, like broke through the roof. It sounds like we're on the roof, and they ate, and they broke. You just said that the current Pesach has to be in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim can only be downstairs, because upstairs didn't become sanctified. Clearly it did. Says the Gemara, no, the Ochli Be'ara, they ate the carbon pesach downstairs, but the amri be'igra, they would go upstairs on the roof to say halal. Why would they go on the roof to say halal? L'cho'ida, the reason is a sign of freedom. They were slaves, and now we just finished, we said the Haggadah part till benching, and we ate the carbon pesach, which marks our freedom, and to demonstrate our freedom, we go upstairs free, there's no walls or anything else, and we say halal to show freedom. And some say that's the mocker why we open the door, Shrei Chamascha, after benching, the same thing. After the Hafikamen, which we had, represented the Korban Pesach, and we bench for it, we go open the doors to show that now we are free, we don't have to sit behind closed doors. Anyway, that's what some say. So anymore, Aini, it's not so. Vihatnam, didn't we learn? So you're telling me that what? That they ate the carbon Pesach in one place and they went somewhere else. And they said, how? Aini, it's not so. But now we learned, Aini, Maftirian Achara, Pesach Avakoimun, we're going to have later on at the end of Avi Psochim, I'm an argument, what exactly means you should not eat after the Pesach, the Avakoimun. What exactly does the word Avakoimun mean? And Rav says, Avakoimun is two words, taking out your dishes. You're not allowed to eat, the Seder over here. And then go eat your dessert somewhere else. Afikumana, take your dishes with you somewhere else. You shouldn't go from one group to another group. That means you're not allowed to leave your area. So how can you eat here and then say hal somewhere else? We're like, kash, that's not a problem. Kan b'shas achil Rav was talking about you shouldn't eat here and then eat dessert somewhere else. But kan halal is shleiber chila. Halal is after you finish. In fact, you're not allowed to eat anymore. And because you're not allowed to eat anymore, therefore, now you can leave. You can go and finish the Seder, the second half of the Seder, somewhere else, because you're not eating anymore. And Rashi over here says the reason why you're not allowed to eat, remember we learned before, Rashi, the reason why you're not allowed to eat after Korn Pesach is because you want to eat Korn Pesach when it's full. So Tosha told us before, why is that? Because we don't want you to break bones, and therefore we want you to eat Korn Pesach when you're full. Rashi says, don't do with that. Rashi says, because all the kabbanas, don't do with Pesach, they're all kabbanas, that you have to eat l'moshcha l'gdula. When do you eat food because you enjoy it? If you're hungry, you're eating because you're starving. When you're not starving anymore, you're pretty full. You're not full, but you're pretty full. And then when you eat, you're only eating because it's really tasty, really enjoyable. And we want you to eat the Korn Pesach, in a choshev way, an elegant way, and that is, you don't stuff your face, you're eating a kazayis, but you're eating it because it's really tasty and it's enjoyable. That's why you eat it towards the end. Second one further, Toshma, so you're telling me that the roofs, was never made Kodesh, or the window. That's a question we learned. Abba Shol said, Aliyas Beis Kochi Kochim, the upstairs of Kodesh Kodashim in a certain respect, is a Chamura, is even stricter than Beis Kochi Kochim, than the room itself of the Holy of Holies. Shebeis kocha kochim, the room of the Holy Holies, koyin godl nichol pav achav shana, once a year in Yom Kippur, he would go in there and do his avodah. But v'aliyas beis kocha kochim, he would go in the kocha kochim for the ketidus and also to sprinkle between the badim. But the aliyas beis kocha kochim, the upstairs of kocha kochim, ein nichnosin lo, they wouldn't go there ela pam achav b'shua, once every 7 years. Or the others say pamay mishua twice every 7 years, and the others say pamachel beiva once every jubilee. Later, and the only reason why they ever went in there is mahitzicha, to see what was necessary, because maybe the wall is collapsing, maybe it needs repairs. That's all. So what do you see from here? First of all, what do you see from here clearly that the upstairs is considered holy. If the upstairs was not considered holy, then why are there restrictions as to how many times they can go in there? Once a 50 years, 7 years, who cares? Omar Rabbi Yisrael said, that particular room is totally different. You can't bring it out from the room at all. And why not? Why not? He says here, because Meheichul Nekum Benesiv, you want to ask a question from the Beis HaMikdash. You want to ask a question. Shaini Heichul. The Heichul is totally different. And why is that? The Chesiv, it says in Pasik, Ayitin Dov L'Shleim Benoi. David gave to Shleim his son as Tavnis Ulam. He gave him all the architectural designs for the Beis HaMikdash, Botov, and all the houses, Vigans Obav, and the treasure, and the warehouse of treasuries, Vali Yosef. He also gave him, included in that architect, in those schematics, he also gave him the upstairs. And the houses of Ganzochov, Vali Yosef, and upstairs, the Chador of Hapnimim, and the inner rooms, Ubeis HaKapoides, and the house of the Kapoides. So what does it mean? What? Basically, is where the Orem was. It says, everything that I gave you came from the Eibishter, exact, every detail. So there's different. The Eibishter said, I want the Aliyah to be holy on top of the Kodesh Kedoshim. So therefore, those rooms were holy. But the rest of the rooms, that let's say of anything else that they built in the Beis HaMikdash, that was not part of these plans, or throughout the entire Yerushalayim, anything that they built upstairs did not become holy. And then on top of the Beis HaMikdash itself was different, because that was all part of Miyad Hashem Olah Hizkol. The Eibishter gave it to me, and therefore it has a different din altogether. Okay, we'll continue tomorrow in Mirtz Hashem.